Okay, well, good evening. Some very profound words. I'm bound for the promised land. Is that where you're going tonight? To the promised land? Is that where we're going? To the promised land. We sang it tonight, but are we going to the promised land? Tonight, I am not exactly sure how this will all come out. I trust that the Lord will speak to each of our hearts. I titled this message, Betrayed by a Kiss. I titled the message, Betrayed by a Kiss. I was sitting in my seat and these two stories came to my mind. And I was struck. I want to share these stories for you children. When I was 14 years old, my brother was getting married on a Thursday. On a Wednesday night, listen here, might have a little humor to it. On a Wednesday night, my mom sat me down for a haircut. And we had a traditional haircut. And the tradition was that you cut your hair straight off. And that's how I grew up my whole life, just cutting my hair straight off. I had a mop. And I grew up my whole life being okay with that. I was living life. I was fine. I was happy. I was a child. And it was okay. But I was 14 now. I remember sitting beside the cook stove and my mom was cutting my hair. And I don't know why these stories are so. And I said, when she's done, I'm going to fix this haircut. I'm going to fix this haircut. After all, tomorrow there's a wedding. I was 14. I was done with the mop. It was time to be cool. So I went to the milk house. Because in the milk house, there was a medicine cabinet. And in old-time medicine cabinets, the door was a mirror. And inside the mirror was all of our vaccinations for our calves and our cattle. And I went to the shed first where we kept our tools, and I got a tin snips. And I went to the medicine cabinet, and I got on a wretch up there. I was pretty tall. And I looked in there and said, man, am I going to change the world tonight? I'm going to fix this mop. And I started trimming with a tin snips. And I thought I was really doing something. And I got all done and I'd done a few circles. And I was a cool dude. But I look pretty hideous, to be real honest with you. I don't normally use the word cool dude, but in my day, that I was a cool dude. That's what I thought. But I looked pathetic. I cut my hair with a tin snips. Title of the message tonight is Betrayed by a Kiss. Betrayed by a Kiss. I remember going in the house and my mother looking at me and saying, what did you do to your hair? What did you do to your hair? Oh, nothing. Nothing. But I betrayed my mother. I betrayed her. Yes, those things needed some weeding out of our lives, of course. But in our lifetime, in our life, I betrayed my mother. And I remember the look on her eyes. You went out and cut your hair. And I felt empty, sad. Well, it wasn't long before my dad grabbed me by the scruff of my neck, took me to the same spot, and he cut my hair straight again, but it was a lot higher. And when I went to the wedding, I looked even more hideous. But I never cut my hair again on my own. I betrayed my father and my mother. Children, that's not a smart thing to do. This story seems more heartbreaking to me. I remember I was even a little older. I was probably going on 15, and my older brother and I, my dad was vaccinating pigs. We had a whole batch of pigs. We had two barns that were full of pigs. And my dad was in debt over his head. He didn't have no money. And he was raising pigs. He was raising calves. He was working away. He was trying to teach school. All he was trying to do is just get ahead. And he told us, he said, boys, he said, I need your help. We're going to vaccinate these pigs. And all along I knew that Don was coming, and we were going to the trailer court to watch a movie. How are we going to get away? How on earth are we going to get away? He needs help. Look at him. There's hundreds of piglets to vaccinate. So we went out there, and we pretended for a while. Soon, we slipped away. Within minutes, we were in the trailer court in a beat-up trailer watching a devilish movie. At home was my father, and he was vaccinating pigs. And I called him on the way here. The reality of all that just set in. If you think you're cool when you betray your father, there's pain in years to come. I remember sitting in that trailer watching that movie, and I watched a lot of movies in my day, but I remember what movie that was. I remember almost every scene of that movie. Why? Because at home, I had a father that I betrayed. He thought we were coming back sometime to help him vaccinate pigs. But we were at the trailer park watching a movie. Betrayed by a kiss. I have a deep burden tonight for our own souls. And I want you to be honest with God in your own life. Just tonight, sitting in this room, have you betrayed the Father with a kiss? Have I betrayed the Father with a kiss? I know those stories aren't emotional to you, but somehow the scene just broke me to pieces. I have a good relationship with my dad today. But the reality is, many of us, many of you, have betrayed the Father in heaven. You have betrayed him with a kiss, and maybe you've done it tonight in this room. Maybe you came here with a beautiful pretense. Maybe you sat in our seats, and in the outward, we were kissing the feet of Jesus. But inwardly, we were betraying him. Inwardly, we were turned away from God. But outwardly, we were kissing him. When Judas came up to Jesus, he says, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kissed him on the cheek, only to betray him. There was no good intentions in Judas's heart. None. He had intentions to gain the silver and gain the gold and to betray him. And this afternoon when I thought of that, I thought of my own life. How often have I betrayed Jesus Christ with a kiss? With a kiss. That is a mockery. Luke 22, it says that he came up to him and he kissed him on the cheek for one purpose. For one purpose, to betray him. Tonight, when you sat in your seat while we sang this song, I am bound for the promised land. Did you betray him with a kiss? Or are you bound for the promised land? You see, it's very simple. You can fool man, but you can't fool God. If you're going to mock him, he's going to make a mockery of you. Being betrayed by a kiss is a picture of mockery and hypocrisy. It's saying, I do. Rabbi, greetings. God bless you. I am bound for the promised land. But in your pocket, you're betraying him. In your soul, you're betraying him. This message is simply a burden for men to just get serious with God. To get serious with God and be done with your sin. Paul said, that I may know him. Is that your heart tonight? Just that I could know Jesus and the fellowship of his sufferings. Consider the men that Jesus asked to wake with me for an hour. For an hour while I go and pray and seek the Lord. And they fell asleep. And he come back to them. In Matthew 26, he says, can you not wake with me but an hour? How long does it take you to be pulled away? How close are you to the world? How close are you to serving the flesh? How much of the world is right at your doorstep? How much do you love the world? Because when Jesus asks something of you, how quickly do you go? Right back. Right back. I would love for us to evaluate our love. Like Paul said, oh, that I could know him. If that's your heart tonight, you'll stay awake. You'll stay awake because I want to know him. If these men would want, if they would have had nothing but a desire to know Jesus and the fellowship of his sufferings, they'd have stayed awake. But they betrayed him with sleep. They betrayed him with their flesh. And the world, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, the tin snips, and the mop. They betrayed him because they wanted to be cool. And I'm taking that a bit out of reference. Obviously, the disciples just simply fell asleep. But why are you falling asleep? Is the point of what I'm trying to say. Betrayed by a kiss, number one. Number two, betrayed by your flesh. Betraying him by your flesh, falling asleep, living for the flesh, loving the world, is betraying him by sleep. Just remember the words of Paul in Philippians 3. He says, oh, that I may know him. I think of the wedding picture yesterday. I think they wanted to know each other. Oh, that I could know Lucas. Oh, that I could know Brenda. But is that your heart tonight? Oh, that I could know Christ. Thirdly, I'd like to talk about betrayal by denial. Consider with me in Matthew 26, Peter. Consider the story of Peter. That was a strong man. And yes, I believe a very God-fearing man. We're all susceptible to this. But this evening, I don't think anything cuts the heart of God more than betrayal by denial. Are you ashamed of what you are? Are you ashamed of what you live? Are you ashamed of your parents? Are you ashamed of your lifestyle? What is your lifestyle? Is it Christ? Is it Like Paul said, that I may know him. If that's your lifestyle, don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed of it. Matthew 10 says, if you are ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my heavenly Father. Now, if that doesn't wake us up, it should. We have no time to be ashamed of the gospel. We have no time to be ashamed that we live for Jesus. We have no time to be ashamed that I am living for a cause. I don't do that. I can't do that. I'm restrained by the love of Christ. I cannot do that. Or are we just yielding and giving because we're ashamed? Oh, if I say that, he'll think that. If I say that, just maybe he'll think I'm too good. If I say that, just maybe I'm going to lose my friend. I assure you tonight, lose your friend. Lose your friend. It's way better to lose your friend on earth than to be ashamed of by Christ Jesus in eternity. That's a sobering thought. Don't deny Christ. If you love him, if you have said with your mouth, I do, I love Christ, I am done with sin, I am done with the old man. Too often we're not as done with the old man as we say. Too often we're not going to the promised land as we say. Too often we're not done with sin as we say. Too often we say and we do not. And Jesus had some very harsh words for men that say and do not. This is a desire for my life. I'm not exempt from the potential of betraying my Lord. The same as all of us. But if you want to make it to the promised land, you're going to have to be unashamed of living the Christian life. You're going to have to be unashamed of living for Jesus. Because the Bible says that if you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. Today, how have you betrayed the Lord? Today, not in your past, today, at home, when you went home from church, how did you betray Jesus? He was bruised for the very iniquity that you committed today, so that you could be healed. That's an amazing gospel. That's an amazing story. For the sin you committed today, he was bruised so that you could be healed. I don't think we have a more amazing story. Amen? You can be healed. How have you betrayed Jesus last night? How have you betrayed Jesus this morning? And last of all, again I'll repeat, how have you betrayed Jesus in this service? With a kiss? Just open your heart before God. We don't have nothing to lose. The only thing we have to lose if you don't open your heart is your own soul for all eternity. I beg you tonight, and all of us, myself included, betraying the Lord Jesus Christ is way more grave than betraying my dad in the pig barn. There was repercussions for going to the trailer park to watch a movie that day. But nothing, nothing compared to the repercussions of betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. That whooping and that scolding and that discipline was minor. I don't even remember what it was. That's how minor it was. So my encouragement tonight is not to condemn, but I want to again reiterate that the very sin that you committed today, he was bruised and stripped and beaten for that sin. All you have to do is give it to him. Give it to him. Sell your whole life to Jesus. Listen, I can tell you among many of you men sitting here, women and young men, the price of sin is high. Is high. I just encourage us. You cannot go home and fool God. You cannot wake up tomorrow morning and fool God that I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a pretty good guy. Because Jesus was not betrayed. He was not fooled by Judas, was he? What did he say when Judas said, "Blessings, Rabbi"? He said, "Go ahead and do what you guys are going to do. I understand this. I see the intent. I know the plan." He already knows. I know that it was a burden on my heart tonight. It was not to be presented in a morbid way.